Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word that gives us hope and comfort and strength. But there are times when that word challenges us too. Help us to hear the challenge and to see the opportunities that come out of that challenge, to grow and to become more the people you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. Abraham Lincoln was at a state convention at Springfield. It was the first of his memorable speeches. His hands tensely gripped the podium. And he declared very slowly and very firmly, "A house that is divided against itself cannot stand." Well, of course, he was talking about the country of the United States, which was very much divided on the issue of slavery. And who was he quoting? We heard in our gospel reading a few moments ago, he was quoting Jesus. But it wasn't only Jesus that talked about this kind of thing. Paul talked about division many times when it came to the early church. It was often the topic of his writings. We only really have to look to Corinthians and other of the letters that he wrote to know what kind of life was often lived by human beings that came together as community and tried to build what it was they felt God calling to do at that time in their life together. Well, the truth is that even today in the church, whether we're talking at a parish level or a diocesan level or nationally or around the world, whether we're talking about within Anglican circles or ecumenically, the body of Christ is easily broken. Not always in huge ways, often not in ways that cause irreparable damage, but broken nonetheless. And sometimes broken to the point that ministry is compromised, relationships are fractured, and the spirit of the gospel is jeopardized. And that's not optimally who God calls us to be as the church. Think about the Anglican Communion that we are part of around the world. It's a wonderful gift that we have to know that we are connected with people in countries all around the world who gather as Anglicans, who worship as we do as Anglicans, and who hold that center of faith and spirituality and tradition that we do as Anglicans. And yet, in many ways, our Anglican Communion is fractured and broken. There are bishops who won't sit at the same table with other bishops because of the sexuality conversation. And sometimes they won't sit at the same table because of the issue of the ordination of women as priests, never mind as bishops. Nationally, there have been conversations about which prayer book we're going to use that has caused divisions, or which hymn book, or will we write another prayer book? Next year at General Synod, being held here in Toronto as the Anglicans across our country gather together, there will be discussions on the marriage canon, and that is sure to be contentious. Let me give you one example. In a parish, they had the opportunity to get involved in hosting an out-of-the-cold ministry. And there was a whole group of people who thought this is a fabulous idea and we're behind it and we want to get involved with it. And then there was the group over here who thought, oh, I'm not sure, they're going to have to use our kitchen. It's amazing what causes the sense of division and brokenness in the life of the church. Look at those images for a moment. What do you see? Cracks? Cracks that can't be repaired? Decay? Pulling away from the challenge. Yeah.
Oops.
A marriage in trouble. A divorce. When you see those images, how does that make you feel? Not great? Sad? Devastated. Fearful? It is a brick wall with a huge crack. No, it's a brick wall that you can't necessarily see from there. But certainly all images of brokenness. Whatever level of dysfunction that we're talking about or thinking about in terms of who we are as church, it makes me feel sad. And I think it makes God feel sad too. Because we aren't reaching the fullest potential of faithfulness of who God calls us to be and what God calls us to do. At the end of the day, though, what it's really about is the complex dynamics of what it means to be in Christian community together. It's not about one person and another person separate from each other, but it's about being together in relationship with each other and with all the complexities of what that means to be in a relationship with each other. And it's about doing what we can to reflect our relationship with God and to reflect the unity of God's Spirit in us and God's Spirit working through us. I wonder, how can God's Spirit work if there are cracks in the body of Christ? Think about a baseball team, or a hockey team, or a football team, or a soccer team, or a cricket team. What happens if all the players go out there on the field and just do their own thing and don't pay attention to the coach and aren't united together? What happens if the person who's playing catch says, the guy in center field isn't doing his job, so I'm going to go out there and try and catch the ball? It means there's nobody at home plate. And I doubt they're going to win the game. Think about the Toronto Symphony. You've got all the various individuals playing their instruments, all playing very beautifully. You have the various sections playing their music. But if one section decides, you know what, I think we need to have a rest here, and the rest of them keep playing, they're not going to be making beautiful music, are they? And if they don't follow the lead of the conductor, they're not going to make the music that the composer intended. Well, who is the conductor in our case? Who is the coach? But none other than Jesus Christ. The one who is at the center of who we are as the body of Christ. And Jesus always stands before us as an image of unity and of wholeness. And Christ himself brings together all that divides. Christ heals the wounds that separate. Christ reconnects pieces that are grown apart. Christ brings healing. This morning we will enter into the sacrament of healing for those who desire to receive prayers in the midst of whatever brokenness they may experience in their lives. And one of the brokenness pieces that we pray for in the midst of that is the brokenness of the body of Christ, that we may be whole and that we may be that united people doing the ministry that God invites us into. And the truth is there's nothing in the life as the body of Christ that can't be put back together by the love of God in Jesus Christ. It's only by the Holy Spirit, though. It's only by that flame of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and acting through us that we can put ourselves aside, our agendas, our differences of opinion, our egos, and truly join hands with connected spirits and faithfully live out and witness to the good news of who we are in Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the exchange of peace that we enter into Sunday after Sunday. It's a part of our liturgy, and an important part as well. I wonder, though, do we stop and think about what that ritual is all about? Do we think about what it symbolizes and means? Do we listen to what we're saying to the other person? And do we listen to what they are saying to us? Do we look into each other's eyes as we share the peace of Christ? Or do we do it just because it's in the book and the liturgy tells us to do it? The peace of Christ, as we come to God's table to share in the heavenly banquet, to gather in communion with God and in communion with each other, what we are saying in that moment is, I am at peace with you and you are at peace with me. And we are at peace with God. And what a witness to those who might be looking in, seeing us side by side, coming to take our place at the banquet table, where though we are many, we are one. Just imagine. Imagine what the Holy Spirit can do, and imagine what the Holy Spirit will do if truly we experience the peace of Christ in who we are and in all we do. Even though we may not always agree on everything, we're human beings. We all have human minds to think. We all have human experiences to draw on. We're not always going to agree on things across the church, again, at any level that we're talking about. And I'm not sure I'd want us all to agree, because I think it might get pretty boring. But that's not what it's about. We are called to have that solid foundation. We are called to have that center core. We are called to know that ultimate truth that God loves us. And as God loves us, we are called to love each other. So let's think about that as we share the peace of Christ this morning. Remember what it means. Remember what it is we are saying. Remember what it is that we are sharing. That image for me reflects what it means to be united in the Spirit. And it's not standing in a circle at the edge looking in, although that's not a bad image too, but I like this one better. I like this one because our hands are joined at the center and we reach out from the very core of our being with our common faith uniting us together. It's kind of like the team before it goes on the field, giving that cheer that says, this is who we are, and this is what we're here to do. And we're united in that as the body of Christ. A house or a kingdom with that kind of strength will never, never fall. God will accomplish so much, more than we can ever imagine, with that kind of wholeness and that kind of unity in our experience of community. During World War II, Hitler commanded all the religious groups to unite together so that he could control them. Well, among the Brethren assemblies, half of them complied and half of them refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time, and those who did not faced harsh persecution. Well, when the war was over, there were feelings of bitterness that ran very deep within that group when they came back together. There was a tension. And they decided that that situation had to be healed. So the leaders from each group met in a quiet retreat. Each person spent some time in quiet prayer, examining their own heart in light of Christ's command. And then they came back together. Francis Schaeffer asked a friend who was there, so what did you do then? Well, he replied, we were just one. We were one as we confessed our hostility and our bitterness to each other and to God, And then we turned ourselves over to God. And the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among us. Love filled our hearts and dissolved our hatred. You see, when love prevails among believers, and especially in times of disagreement, that presents the world an indisputable mark of a true and faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And in that unity, the most faithful community of disciples we can be. Each day I receive a reflection from the Society of St. John the Evangelist, a group of brothers in a monastery out of Boston. And there was one that came across my inbox that was particularly relevant to this whole conversation. And so I received it as a gift, and I want to share it with you as well. The way the dividing wall of hostility between people is broken down is not berating or convincing the other person, the other tradition, that we are right. Dividing walls of hostility are dismantled when people enact a tacit covenant with one another, respecting the dignity and integrity of the other. And so when it comes to the body of Christ, whether we're talking internationally or right down to our own parish, in Anglican circles and ecumenically, pray that that indeed may be so. A house that is divided against itself cannot stand. But a house and a kingdom that is filled with the Spirit of God, nothing and no one can destroy it. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church. And grant us the peace and unity of your kingdom, where you are alive and reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen."